This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
If you haven't done your Christmas shopping, you're out of time. I don't think even Amazon can get it here, right, by now. Amazon's like they're out on the road, but it's like today's the day. And I hope that you have that perfect gift. You bought the perfect gift. It's sitting under your tree. I learned a long time ago with my wife, the perfect gift for her is a gift card and a day of guilt-free shopping. I don't make her feel guilty. She feels bad about shopping for herself. So what we did was said, here's a gift card. We know her favorite place. And she goes and takes a day and goes and looks for everything, finds all the stuff she wants, and then she leaves. And then she thinks about it for a while. And then she comes back another day. And then she leaves. And then finally she comes back and buys that thing. So that's her perfect Christmas gift. But for some of you, that perfect Christmas gift is sitting under the tree, right? And you've already wrapped it and you've been so excited. Some of you have been working on it. You made it. And you got it ready, and you're more excited about giving that than the person probably is that's going to receive it, because they don't know. It's wrapped up. They don't have any idea what's in there, but you do, and you can't wait for them to see it. And either tonight, if you're going to open it tonight or tomorrow, you're just sitting there waiting with anticipation. What are they going to think, and how are they going to receive it? And you can't wait to see their eyes light up with that. You know, I think that's the way Jesus was on that first Christmas. I think the way God was. For thousands of years, for all eternity, since the very creation of everything before the beginning of time, God had a plan to send his son. And he waited with anticipation. It was like, today is the day after all this time. Today is the day it's going to happen. I think God was just saying, I can't wait for them to see it. I can't wait for them to understand it. Here is the very perfect gift. See, God thought of us when he made that perfect gift that day, when he brought that baby into the world that day. And the very perfect Christmas gift is found in Luke chapter 2, verse 11. It says this, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. There is no better news, there's no better word, there's no better way of pointing it out. In that verse is everything that Christmas is all about. It's the perfect gift. It's a gift that you can't wrap up in a box. It's a gift you can't put under a tree, at least you shouldn't. It's the gift of a baby. The perfect gift at Christmas is a Savior. Savior. Think about that for a second. Everything else that we have, everything else that we are, is all wrapped up in that gift of a Savior. And there's three reasons that's the perfect gift, the perfect reason that we come together and celebrate, the perfect reason God waited all this time, the perfect reason he brought us together. There's three reasons that's so important. The first of this is this. First of all, is the gift is universal. It's for everybody, every time, every place. Doesn't matter where you're born. Doesn't matter what kind of family you grew up in. Doesn't matter what language you speak. It doesn't matter if you have money in the bank or if you spend it all for Christmas. It does not matter where you went to school. It does not matter how much money you have in the bank account tomorrow. All that matters is that God says this gift is for everybody. This gift is for you. Now, when God was preparing this baby to come, when he was preparing for his son to come, if you think about it, anytime you do that, you're worried about the name, right? What are we going to call this baby? If you've had children, you know, that's one of the biggest concerns, because you can't look at the baby and go, this is what the baby looks like. This is what I want to name it. You've got to decide in advance. At least most people do. And you kind of wrestle with it. Some of you went through family names. You go, what am I going to call this child? And you went through all the people you knew. And you thought of all the kids you knew and which ones were good and which ones weren't. You didn't want to name them after certain ones. And you were concerned, too, probably when you named that baby or when you thought about it. You go, I don't want to give him a name that's a little unusual. Because if I give him an unusual name, then the first day of school, the teacher's going to say, what's your name? They're not going to know it. And all the kids are going to tease them, right? Or when you go to that gift store and you're looking for the keychain with their name and it doesn't have it because that name is out of place and you're checking all the words and there it's one that's missing. You don't want that for your child. In 2019, this year, here's the big names. Maybe you've heard these. The girl names Emma, Olivia, Ava, and Isabel. That's kind of cool, huh? The boy names this year are Liam, Noah, William, and James. They're pretty common names, right? Names you'd hear all over the place. When we named our boys, we gave it a lot of thought. We wanted something unusual, something a little different. So when our first one was born, we searched the scriptures. We tried different things. We said them out loud. We yelled it, like if they're in trouble. What does that sound like when you yell it? And is it going to work or not? And then can you shorten it down? And could you spell it? Is it pretty simple? So we looked at the scriptures, and we found Ethan. And that's a word that's basically tied to wisdom. Ethan the Ezrahite, Psalm 89, the second wisest person of all time. I don't know if you knew that. They like ranked him. first was Solomon, and we didn't want to name him Solomon. It's kind of a different name. We said, Ethan is good. It's okay to be second in that category. And we like that. We like that name. When it was time for Micah to be born, we kind of looked through the names and came up, you know, wanted to come up with something from the Bible, something that fit, and we'd not heard any Micahs. So we looked at that word, and that word means who is like God. Who is like God? And we wanted him for the rest of his life, as if he ever heard that name, to go, I don't think anyone is like God. And I want him to understand that there is no one like God. And for every time we say it, no one is like God. He is perfect and he's holy. And that was the name we gave him. Not that Micah is perfect and holy, but our God is. It's just the right name. You got to find that perfect name of the person that you're going to give birth to or have as a child. In Matthew 1:21, the angel came to Joseph and he said this, you will bear a child and you shall call him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Call him Jesus. He should have been called Joseph, right? Joseph bar Joseph. Joseph, the son of Joseph, is how you name the firstborn. You called him after their dad. We would say Joseph Josephin in our culture. But that's not what Jesus was going to be named. It's Jesus. Yeshua. Yahweh saves. But instead of God saves, it was like, look at this baby. This baby is the one who saves. He saves people from their sins. And that is universal because we all sin. And we all need a Savior. No matter where you were born, where you came from, we all need that. Romans 3:23 is a great verse to kind of remind us of that. It says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Everyone in this room, everyone in this world is in that same category. In the Bible, I think there's a perfect verse, right? Every part of the Bible is inspired by God. There's sometimes God just says, look at this one verse. And we know John 3:16 is that verse that kind of encompasses everything that scriptures want to tell us. You probably know this. If you've been a Christian for any time, you know this verse, you know the gospel, but we want to be reminded of it. And it says this, for God so loved the world, the whole world, everyone in the world, that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Sometimes we look at people and go, I don't think they deserve God's love. Sometimes we overlook people and we say, I don't know about them. Sometimes we think about other cultures and go, I don't know about them. But God says, no, I love them all. I love the whole world, everyone in the world, because everyone needs a Savior. Everyone. So the first reason this is such a perfect gift is universal. It's for everybody. The second reason is that this gift is eternal. It never ends. It goes on forever. I've got bad news for most of us in here, if you haven't figured this out already. The gift that you give today will not last forever, all right? Unless all you're giving is love, and then you might go shop somewhere, okay? But it doesn't last forever. It doesn't. When my mom and dad were cleaning out their house, my mom found this box up in the attic, and she pulled it out for me, and she gave it to me. She said, this is your stuff. She had kept it forever. And I kept it. It's up in my closet. I don't take it out very often. I don't think I've taken it out in years, actually. There's three things inside this box. One is a sports page from 1981 with UNC versus Duke. We kept this, not because Carolina beat Duke that day, but because there's a little side article, a reprint from a report in 1888, the very first football game between Duke and Carolina. Duke was called Trinity, and my great-grandfather played football that day, and his name is listed as the very first team that Carolina played in football. And he sprained his leg, and he took him out of the game. That's our hero, right? But he was in that very first game, and so we keep this, a reminder of our legacy. The second thing we have in there that I got was this stocking that my grandmother made. It's kind of like this. It's kind of cool. We don't put it up anymore. And it makes little jingle noises, so it's kind of loud, but it's in that box, and so I still have my nursery stocking that she made for me. And the third thing I have in there is the boys said, don't show them to that. It's hideous. But I'm going to show it to you anyway, so cover your eyes if you need to. But I got this when I was a little kid. It's Mickey Mouse. See that? Oh, exactly. They said it's hideous. Don't show it to the people. I said, I'm going to show it to them anyway, all right? This is my Mickey Mouse when I was a child. I got it for Christmas. And it's old. It's beat up. Like the nose got chewed on. I must have done that. The paint's gone. The ears are gone. It's kind of weird looking. It's kind of shabby. the tail is like a rat tail now. What happened was, I think when I was a little kid, I just loved it too much, and I pulled the ears off and the tail off, so my grandmother knitted them, so I have it, right? Now, I put this thing in a box. It's there. I don't know what it's going to do with it. We're going to give it to Micah probably when I die. You deal with it now. It's your deal now, buddy. But these are the three things I have, and I look at this, and I go, yeah, it's hideous, it's ugly. It doesn't look like that to you guys. You might look at it and go, no way. But for me, I don't see it that way. For me, I see it as something I loved as a kid, as something that was mine and something that was so much a part of my life. I see this differently than everybody else, and I think that's how God sees us, right? Little beat up, little worn out, not quite perfect. But he said, that's how I see you, and I love you. I see you for exactly who you are. And I think that's how God sees us. I look at this too, and I think when I was a little kid, my grandparents would come and spend the night with us at Christmas. And every Christmas, I remember that. And my mom was there, and everybody was there in my family. And that part of my family is all gone. They've all passed. But one of the things I love about Christmas is the joy that I know that one day I'll see them again. See, salvation is eternal. Salvation lasts longer than these kinds of things. We put in boxes and put them back into the cupboard or up in the closet. Salvation is forever. Salvation is eternal life. Jesus came not just to give us something that would last for a day or a child who would grow up and one day die. He gave us salvation because he wants us to know that he made us for a relationship that would last forever. Romans 6:23 says this, the wages of sin is death. We all deserve it. We're not perfect. We all deserve death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's a gift, the greatest gift we'll ever receive. I think somewhere down deep in our hearts, we know we were created to live forever. We hope it. We hope everyone we know and love is created for forever. And yet the scriptures tell us without a doubt that that's the truth. You and I have a mortal soul inside of us that will last forever. And the gift of God is to spend it with him, eternal life with him. Looking again at John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have what? Eternal life. Eternal life. Sometimes Christmas gets buried under everything, doesn't it? We focus on everything else, and we get so excited, and those things are all good, but at the heart of Christmas, every bottom of Christmas, is this gift of eternal life from Jesus Christ. And that gift is universal, it's eternal, and finally, the gift is personal. Personal. Do you have something under the tree right now that's just for one person? Or do you have a gift under the tree that you could just swap around? Most of you don't have gifts that you could swap around. Here, you take this one, it doesn't really matter. Just take this one, right? You've thought about it, and it's for a very specific person. It's designed for them. Do you know that God's gift of salvation is designed for you personally? Jesus knows you. He knows the hairs on your head. He knows the concerns in your heart. He knows what you're dealing with. He knows the words before you even say them. Every day of your life is written in his book. And he did this for you. He gave his son for you. He was thinking of you when his son came. 2 Peter 3:9 tells us the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise as some count slowness. In other words, he hasn't come back yet. But he's not slow about it because he's patient toward you. He was waiting for you to come to know him. If you don't know him yet, he's still waiting for you. He's thinking of you personally. That's a huge thing to think about. The God of the universe knows you, and he wants a relationship with you, and he sent his son because of that. It says he's not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance, that all should know him. That's the message of Christmas, isn't it? It's open to everybody that wants to come to know him because he wants to know you. In 1 Peter 3:5, it says this about Jesus. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. There is no one that could die for themselves. There's no one perfect enough. There's no one that could have said, okay, God, I'm perfect, let me in. But only the Son of God is without sin, and he's the only one that could do what he did. He came, he lived, he died for us because he was perfect. Again, in 1 Peter, this time chapter 1, 18 and 19, it says this, for you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. On Sunday, I mentioned that Bethlehem was the place that the lambs were born and kept for the sacrifices in Jerusalem. And Jesus was born there to remind us that he is the perfect Lamb of God. If there was a lamb with any spot or blemish, they weren't allowed to be part of the sacrifice. It had to be perfect. And Jesus is that perfect one to die for us. In John 3:16, again, one last time, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." And that's the key to this gift. Jesus came for us. He said, "The only thing I ask is that you believe, that you trust your life to me, that you accept me." It's like any gift you're going to receive, you have to accept it. You have to receive it. And the way that you do that is saying, "Jesus, I want you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe that you did live on this earth. I believe that you did die and that you did rise again and that my sins were on you while you were on the cross. I do believe that you're the perfect sacrifice." And that's what we do to receive the gift. Christmases will come and go, right? Christmases are going to come and go. Some of you have seen many Christmases. We have one here today, maybe more, that this is their very first Christmas. And that is cool. And every year we kind of remind us, this is what Christmas is all about. It's about this Savior, this Jesus who came to give us life. Today, if you know that Jesus, that's awesome. You live with a great hope. You live every day as a kind of celebration of Jesus is in the world. If you don't know him, he's still saying to you, "Just receive me. Just believe in me. Just know me. I came for you. I died for you. I want to know you for eternity." That's the gospel. That's the message of Jesus. That's the message of Christmas. Let's pray together. Father God, in the midst of this Christmas season, thank you for all the joys that we have and all the things that we can celebrate and the people we get to celebrate with. Thank you for our families. Thank you for the children that are here. Thank you for the adults. Thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ who gives us all things. And Father, at this time, we thank you for this celebration that we're having right now, that we can just point to Jesus and say thank you. Thank you for our Savior, the perfect one. Thank you for the forgiveness of sins. Thank you for the hope that we have, the assurance of heaven. And thank you for that first Christmas when Jesus came in the world. And we pray this in his name. Amen.